Evening, folks. We're delighted to see you tonight. We're going to begin with singing a psalm this evening. And we're going to come in at verse 8, the Psalm 103, verses 8 through to 17. The Lord our God is merciful and he is gracious. Stand to sing. Together in prayer, let's seek the Lord tonight. Our gracious God and Father, we come in worship before the presence of our God. We approach the throne of grace through the merit of Christ. We plead the precious blood, our only way of approach to Thee, and we rejoice in the acceptance that we enjoy, the privilege that we have to draw near to God with that full assurance that God will draw near to us. Thank Thee for tonight, the Bible study and prayer meeting, the opportunity to fellowship the one with the other, and to fellowship with the Lord Himself. Thank Thee for the grace of God that finds us here. We rejoice in that amazing grace that saved us, and that amazing grace that keeps us, sustains us every day in our Christian walk. And we pray that great grace will be upon this congregation this evening, as we meet here, as we come and bring ourselves before the presence of God for the hearing of your word. Lord, speak to our hearts. Open up your truth to us. Help us to hear from heaven, thy dwelling place. May the Spirit of God himself be the teacher. And may we be well instructed in the things of God. And in the season of prayer that follows, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens that thou wouldest come down. Thou art the God of revival, and we stand this night greatly in need of revival. We are candidates for the moving of God. Lord, forgive us for our sins, our many sins, sins that come between us and God that he will not hear. Remember, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so we come to the fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And Lord, in simple childlike faith, we plunge beneath that tide and praise God we lose all our guilty stains. Wash me and I shall be clean. Lord, purge us in the blood and make us fit to be in the house of God tonight. And so we commit ourselves to the Lord for this time. Bless those that are here. Remember the listeners on the internet tonight, just where they are. Be with them in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Just some announcements to make. First of all, a very warm word of welcome to all that are here. And as always in these days, we are welcoming our Ukrainian friends. And it's good to have the pastor and the people. We also add to that number a few Romanian friends. So they are a neighbouring country, but the language is as diverse as English would be from Russian. So anyhow, it's good to have them tonight. We have Luci, and we have Alci, and Grazie, and we have Ellie, and Matti. So welcome to Ballymoney. It's part of our family, as you know, from a distance. Do remember tomorrow noon. See, it's getting to me already. So anyhow, noon, the wedding of David and Emily. Pray for them, please, that the Lord will bless them. Tomorrow night, youth fellowship is at 8 o'clock. It's the Missionary Council in Lurgan at 8 o'clock. Saturday, the open air in the centre of the town at 11. Next Lord's Day begins with the prayer meeting at 8. Sabbath school, 10:30. Bible class, 10:30. Our worship service, 12 noon. And we come to the third message, why we called our church Hebron. And Luci, who is with us, he will be singing at both of the services next Lord's Day. There's outreach in the afternoon. We want to commend this to you, not just for the teachers, but for any who can come. You've got an interest in the Lord's work. You've got an interest in outreach work. You've got an interest in the upcoming generation. And if you can come on Sunday afternoon, 3:30 is the time. Gospel service then at 7, preceded by the time of prayer. And then on the Monday night, the 23rd, there's a congregational meeting. It'll not be a long meeting, but just as we come to vote on that matter, the presbytery has asked us to remember. We've been praying for Aaron, and Aaron's had another setback, disappointment today, for he was to go for surgery today, tomorrow, and that's been postponed. The surgeon's not well. He has been suffering, and he's not recovered sufficiently to do this surgery. So we do remember Aaron in this delay. We do believe that God's delays are always in his sovereign purposes. And although we struggle at times with these things, yet we rejoice that God is on the throne and he's in control. Mervyn Taylor got out of hospital. I do remember him in his ongoing situation and what needs to be done. And we heard tonight, just before I came into the meeting, that Mervyn Miller is in hospital. Mervyn, as you know, is a farmer, and he got a very severe kick from a bullock today, and his kidney and his spleen is damaged, and they may have to do surgery. So they're keeping him in overnight to observe him. But you can imagine he's in a lot of pain. Remember him. Remember Dorothy and the others that are on our prayer list tonight. We've also been asked to pray for a lady called Sharon Riddle. She is a believer, but we've heard also this lady has suffered a stroke, and the family, I'm sure, would appreciate your prayers. Noreen's travelling back today to Uganda, so remember her in the journey. I think that's all the announcements that I need to make. We are delighted to have Luci here tonight, and I said to Luci, well, now that you're here, you might sing a wee piece for us. So I think he's going to do that just now. Thank you very much. Just as I am, without one plea, my Jesus, I love thee. Yeah. And this is Sebi, Sebastian, his brother, so we mentioned the other names. He's over with his wife and little boy of 4 weeks. Yeah, so 4 weeks in one day, so we better get that right. The night before they came, they didn't sleep. And then with all the travels last night, the baby didn't sleep last night, so I'm sure they're tired. You might need matchsticks. Okay.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the fall is of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, thou art. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lucci, and we trust the Lord will bless that message to every heart. We're going to sing together 615, The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word.
Thank you.
Let's come to Galatians chapter 5, to our study in the nine fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Just read the two verses, verse 22 and 23, that outlines the nine fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we're coming to the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Okay, so it's a good fruit to have in your life, a necessary one. If you're a child of God tonight, you'll know something of this being worked into your life by the power and ministry of the Spirit. Let's look to the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Almighty God and gracious Father, we still our hearts again in the presence of our God. As we come to your word, as we come to fellowship with the Lord and to listen to your voice tonight, we pray that you will speak very clearly to every waiting heart. We know that if the grace of God dwells in us, then the fruit of the Spirit will be manifested. And we do pray that as we look at this very important fruit of the Spirit tonight, that of long-suffering, that the Lord will, in the name of the Lord Jesus, work it into our lives and help us to grow in grace, in the knowledge of God, and bring forth these fruits that are meet for repentance. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking of long-suffering, I have here a rare grace among the sons of men, but a grace manifested by the sons of God. Paul, writing by divine inspiration, as you know, he's outlining the fruit of the Spirit, and he lists the qualities and the graces which ought to be found in the life of the genuine believer. These are the evidences of conversion, the evidences that we ought to be looking for in our lives tonight. The Christian life involves working in these virtues. If you look back at verse 16, Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So when you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in these virtues. These things are going to be found, they're going to be evidenced in your life. And of course, the contrast is being made between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh that belong to the unrenewed man, the unregenerate person, and the fruit of the Spirit that is now found in the life of the believer. Nine particular marks of grace are singled out for our examination. And by these, we can test the reality of our profession. We say tonight we are the Lord's, we are redeemed. I'm sure everyone in this meeting and many listening in on the internet tonight will make that claim. I'm saved by the grace of God. But then we want to examine our lives by what we read here. Are these marks found in us? Because this is what God does within. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in our hearts. Each one will be found and will be a testimony of those that are truly redeemed, to a greater or lesser degree, but they will be there. They will be found. There's always room for improvement, of course, and that's what it is to grow in grace. That's what it is to make progress in the Christian life. Fruit grows, fruit develops, fruit matures, and so you ought to be detecting this as the years roll on. If you're just a Christian, these things are beginning to emerge in you. If you have been saved now for years, a number of years, you can look back over those years and you'll be able to see how these things have evolved in your life, how these fruits have grown, how you have matured in the Christian life. These characteristics are simply a reflection of the divine nature in the human. By redemption, you see, we are renewed in the image of God. We are made like unto the Lord. We are refashioned in the holy image of Jesus Christ, and stamped upon our characters are his divine attributes. When we read about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, we are reading about those great qualities that belong to God. These are the graces which flow from the divine being. Now, if we have been changed, if we have been born again, if we have been converted, there is no doubt that these divine qualities will manifest themselves in us. They must, if we are truly the Lord's people. There will be a Christ-likeness. We no longer live according to the dictates of the flesh. We no longer walk according to the course of this world. We no longer abide in the darkness of fleshly passions. Now we have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. We are made, the Bible tells us, partakers of the divine nature. The fruit of the Spirit is righteousness and true holiness, conformity to the image of God's Son. The fruit of the Spirit is the divine nature being worked in us. Now, the nine fruits are listed by Paul, and they're all found in God. You look to the Lord tonight and you'll see these qualities in him. We have noted the first three: love, joy, and peace. God is love. No one can deny the length and the depth and the breadth of the love of God. God is joy. The very essence of the divine being is one of eternal happiness. He is the blessed God, or the happy God. And we can say that God is peace. Remember, the Father is called the God of peace. The Son is called the Prince of peace. And the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of peace. God in Trinity and God in unity is the God of everlasting peace. And only this God can bestow this attribute upon man. He's the God who is long suffering. Do you know what long suffering means? You can change the word around a little bit and it'll give you a good idea of what it is. Long suffering. Suffer long, okay? If you've got this quality in you, you will suffer long in many circumstances and situations with many people that you come into contact with. The manifestation of Christian fruit is only possible through the union that we have with Jesus Christ. Always keep that in mind. Among other places, we have John 15, reminding us of the union that we enjoy with the Savior. He is the vine. You and I are the branches. We have been grafted into Christ. And from that vine out into the branches, there flows the very character of God. There flows these attributes that ought to be found in us. The marks of the Holy Spirit do not come naturally. They do not belong to the unregenerate. They will only be found in the genuine believer. You cannot love God the way that you ought to love God if the Spirit of God is not working this into your life. You cannot rejoice the way that you ought to rejoice if joy is not being worked into your life by the Spirit of God. You cannot have the peace that we preached on the last time unless the Spirit is working that peace into your heart. And you certainly cannot possess a long-suffering spirit unless the Spirit is doing that work. It is the justifying work of Jesus Christ that brings about the ability for you and I to exercise long-suffering. So let's look at this fourth fruit this evening, the fruit of long-suffering. And I want you to think, first of all, of the example of long-suffering, the one great example of any grace is God himself. you want to have the greatest example of any of these qualities, look to the Lord. There are 17 references in the Bible to long-suffering. And most of these are attributed to God himself, the long-suffering God. You will find 4 references in the Old Testament scriptures. They are all applied to God. And then in the New Testament, there are a further 13 references. 6 belong to God. 7 are applied to man. And I'm going to list them just very quickly, just to let you know where these references are found. You might want to write them down. Exodus 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Numbers 14 and verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Then you come to the Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious. Then we have this word, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Jeremiah 15, verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long-suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Romans 2, verse 4. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Romans 9, verse 22. What of God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Galatians 4 and verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 1 and 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Colossians 3 verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And I'll give you the references without quoting the verse. 1 Timothy 1 16, 2 Timothy 3 verse 10, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, 1 Peter 3, verse 20, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, 2 Peter 3, verse 15. And then to get the complete story, the one that's in our text tonight from Galatians 5 and verse 22. God is a God who suffers long. He suffers long with man's sin, his rebellion, his rejection, his awkward ways, his weakness, his disobedience, and his failures. He is our great example of suffering long with a sinful, disobedient people. And there's so many examples in the scripture. You think of Adam. Didn't he suffer long with Adam? We think of Cain. Didn't destroy Cain. He deserved to be destroyed. Oh, he did put a mark upon him, but Cain's life was preserved. We think of the days of Noah. For 120 years, God was long-suffering with the old world, and destruction did not come for that period of time while Noah was preaching and preparing the ark. We think of the Lord Jesus and the Jewish people. He came to his own received him not. They rejected him. But the Lord was long-suffering. The disciples would call for fire to come from heaven and destroy the rebels of their day. But Jesus did not do that. Think of Judas Iscariot. And our dear Saviour, did he not suffer long with Judas? 3.5 years, knowing his heart, knowing what Judas was going to do. And yet right to the end, he suffered long. When Judas came to the garden to betray him, you remember Jesus called him friend. Friend, whence comest thou? We think of Jesus and sinners today. You wonder why so many in this world have not been struck down, called out into eternity suddenly. Why the Lord permits them to live. You wonder why Putin is still permitted to do the things that he's still doing. I'll tell you, there's only one reason, and that is because our God is a long-suffering God. And so if you're looking for an example tonight, turn your eyes upon our God and look to him. Secondly, there is the expression of long-suffering. This grace is a virtue that is expressed. It's going to be expressed by our attitudes. It will be expressed by our reactions. When you react to certain situations, it will certainly be expressed in our words and in our deeds. It will be seen. It will be observed. Others will take note of it. We have not always expressed it, I'm sure, the way that we should. That man at work, he's given you a difficult time. How did you react to him? Was it with long suffering? Perhaps not the way it should have been. Maybe your boss, your employer, has rubbed you up the wrong road. Or some person, and they want to do you ill. They want to sue you. Or the neighbor that would trouble you. Or even the Christian. And some Christians can be very difficult to live with. But we must manifest the grace of long suffering. Like the spider. Whenever you take away a spider's web, providing you allow the spider to live, it's going to weave another web. You take away that web, it'll do exactly the same. We've got to be persevering, just like the spider, in this grace of long suffering. Not like the newlywed, no reflection upon tomorrow whatsoever, but the story is told as a humorous story of a man and woman that got married. They were heading off on their honeymoon on a horse. The horse stumbled and fell. They fell. And the man said, that's the first time. Went along a little bit further on the road. The horse did the same, stumbled and fell. And the man says, that's the second time. Went a little bit further. The horse stumbled and fell. He took out his revolver and he shot the horse. His wife said, what do you think you're doing? He said, that's the first time. So that's not the way it ought to be. We have to be long-suffering. We should, by God's grace, be able to express our long-suffering nature. We have the capacity. Why? Because the Lord has renewed our nature. The Lord has changed us. He has put the Holy Spirit within. How do you react? How do you respond when someone sins against you? When someone wrongs you, when someone offends you, when someone hurts you, when you are annoyed, when you are harassed, do you find that it is the spirit of anger and wrath that whelms up within you? Brethren and sisters, it ought not to be, because that's the work of the flesh. You go back those few verses and Paul is outlining what the work of the flesh is, and you'll find it is anger. No, my friends, tonight, it ought to be with the fruit of the Spirit, born by the inner work of saving grace that dominates your frame of mind and heart, and you display that benevolent attitude of long suffering. The meaning of long suffering, if I was to give you a dictionary definition tonight, means bearing provocation patiently. Okay, when someone provokes you, you bear it, and you do it patiently. Used in the Bible, it gives the meaning of forbearance, patience, endure, and to be long tempered. And so the question is, can that be said of you and me? It means long-temperedness. Long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or seek to punish. It's the opposite of anger. It's associated with mercy. It is the power to bear up under a burden. It is the power or the ability to endure. It is the capacity to stand a tremendous strain. It is the willingness to resign ourselves to surrounding difficulties and injuries. We wish so often to wear the crown without bearing the cross, and to find some shorter and smoother road to heaven that leads us through more pleasant circumstances. But that's not the case. Long suffering produces patience in affliction. How is this manifested? How is it observed? How is it expressed? Well, it means that you suffer long with adverse circumstances. It's to bear the burdens of this life without complaint. You take wealth for an example. How many Christians who are rich could see their wealth taken from them without a murmur? How many could endure the loss of gain, things that you have worked for maybe a lifetime with patience? You're able to bear that loss, even with cheerfulness. But the Holy Ghost gives the Christian a true discernment in regard to the treasures of this life. And so we're able to put a proper value upon them. You think of Job. We know that Job was one of the most wealthy men of his time. Everything that he had was taken from him. His wealth, his livestock, his family. What did Job say at the end of the first chapter when all those things were removed from him? He says, "The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job knew what it was to exercise long suffering in the midst of adverse circumstances. What about David? In David's case, it was the loss of a child. And that little babe of 8 days old was taken from him. And David resigned himself to the sovereignty of God. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, he says, "Now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." And you know, on that occasion, David worshipped God, resigning himself with long suffering to adverse circumstances. So you suffer long with adverse circumstances. You suffer long with abusive sinners. The ungodly are no friends to Christianity. If you haven't discovered that already, you will discover it. Satan will move them to attack you, to persecute you, to be against you. We do not know what we may have to endure from sinners out there in an ungodly world. God's people will be reviled. They will be persecuted. They will be blasphemed, evilly spoken against, scorned, even imprisoned and martyred for the faith. What should our reaction be? It should be one of long suffering. I think of 1 Peter and the chapter 2 and verse 20. "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." You remember in those early days of the Acts of the Apostles, when God was moving in a mighty way, thousands of people were being converted, great preaching going on in Jerusalem. Remember how it wasn't long before persecution rose against the church of Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, after a time of persecution, this is what we read. To him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. If you were taken, apprehended by the authorities, treated in such an abusive way, and beaten, how would you react? All these disciples had the Holy Spirit working in them, and they react with long suffering. They rejoiced. What a privilege it was even to suffer for the Savior. Instead of showing temper and fretfulness, they showed patience, joy, and fortitude. You suffer long with adverse circumstances. You suffer long with abusive sinners. And you suffer long with awkward and annoying saints. Is that possible? Is it possible that Christians could be like this? Yes, it's true. There are Christians and they do not live the way that they ought to live. They are fleshly. They are worldly minded. Even though they profess Christ as their Savior, they don't walk the way that they ought to. How am I to react? I must bear the infirmities of my weaker brother. You don't become sullen. You don't become withdrawn. You don't become angry or bitter or resentful, manifesting a complaining spirit and murmuring spirit. No, you're able to rise above these things, and you're able to rise above these things with joy because you are the Lord's people and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you and bringing about in your life this grace, this virtue of long-suffering. Will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and just mark the opening three verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. How do you walk worthy of your vocation? This calling, this high calling in Christ. Well, verse 2 and 3 has the answer. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, you put up with it. Christians have different personalities, and they have different temperaments and different attitudes. We know that. We're all different. And some would grieve you by the way they conduct themselves. But to be long-suffering is not to react in a hard way, with harshness or with anger, rather in pity and in love and grace. We are to overlook faults. We are to disregard injuries if we are displaying long-suffering. Forgiveness is a key word. Can you turn to the next book, Colossians, and the chapter 3, and mark verse 12 and 13. Here's something that the Lord wants you to be clothed with like a garment. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's the standard. That's the benchmark. as Christ has forgiven you, you and I are to forgive others. There is no place in the Christian life for holding a grudge or being resentful. When a Christian has achieved this character of long-suffering, he has become more like the Lord, who is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Oh, just think tonight how long-suffering he was to you and me. Those years, not only the years of being out of Christ when we walked according to this world in our sin, but even the years that we've been in Christ. How many times we've failed him. How many times we've come short of his glory. And we haven't been all we should have been. And yet didn't the Lord suffer long with us? Of course he did. Could I make two quick points just in closing? The extent of long suffering. How long should it last? Well, just think about the word long, and that will give you the answer. It is long suffering. You might say tonight, well, I suffer so many grievances. I suffer so many things. Well, you're to be long suffering these things. And here's the difficult thing. Oh, to suffer a short time, to suffer just a while, maybe a few months, might be easier, but the word is long. And again, we want to think about the Lord. We want to think about how he has put up with others, including ourselves. The extent, it's long. And then the experience of long suffering. It's only through grace, through salvation, through the Holy Spirit. The old saying is, you couldn't like him even if you reared him. And maybe you've heard that before. But you can. I understand someone who says that expression, but it's not scriptural. Because God demands that we are long-suffering. God requires that we are long-suffering. When you get to the place where you can do what Jesus says you ought to do in Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, let me read the verses. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's the place where we need to get to, where Jesus speaks about here. And so pray that God will work this grace into your heart by his Spirit. Pray that we will produce this fruit as well as the other ones. Pray that we will be more like the Lord. Because when long suffering is seen in you and me, it is just very simply to be like Christ. Amen and amen. 494. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let's stand. Thank you. This week has been a very good week. It's been an interesting week. We have desired that our Ukrainian friends, as far as it lies within them, get into some kind of normality of life. We know all that's happening back in Ukraine. We know the sorrow. We know the destructive scenes. We see them every day. And we know the pain that they're going through because they have loved ones and family back in Ukraine. And the Russians are still destroying their villages and their cities and killing their people. And that, of course, causes great unease and great upset. But we want to get them into some kind of normal life with us here as they stay with us for a little time. So that has begun to happen. Anita started school. So this is a photograph we took. The first morning she went to school was on the Monday. And a couple of the other children got their uniforms as well. And then on Wednesday, we said farewell to 11 primary school children. And they went to school. And they went smiling and they came home smiling. So that's a good thing. And they've been there for a couple of days. And Nastia Senior, we'll call her. She also went to school on Wednesday. And there's two more going tomorrow. So will you please continue to pray for them, please? Our visitors arrived in Dublin last night. So, okay, this is you. Amen. And the little one that kept you awake last night. But a precious gift from God, undoubtedly. And the other group, Lucci, wasn't there. He was away looking for something, I think. Maybe for his brother. Folks, we're going to come to our time of prayer. At this stage, we say good night to those that are listening in on the internet. You might like to go and have your time of prayer now yourself. But we will just shut ourselves in for a little time together, one after the other, just briefly, taking something.